Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman, and welcome to The Love Code. It's great having you join me for another one of these great, inspiring conversations. The Love Code is all about uplifting you, transforming you, inspiring you, healing you, and I hope you really take in what my guests are saying, put into practice some of their suggestions, recommendations, because this show really, really is here to offer you strategies to achieve the peace of mind, to achieve the healing, to allow you to transform your life in whatever way you would like your life transformed. I also want to make a few announcements. The network, Progressive Radio Network, has been really kind, and they have created for all their hosts a dedicated voicemail line. So this is a number that I'm going to give you in a minute. And please write it down because I really want to hear from you. I want to know that you're listening. I want to know what you think about this show. I want to know if you have any questions, suggestions, and I promise I will get back to you. So the number is 862-800-6805. Once again, it's 862-800-6805. And I do hope you'll just take a minute and say hi. Nothing else, just say hi. It'd be really nice to know that there are people who want to check in and just so I can connect with. That's the thing about being on a podcast. I don't know if anyone's listening. So this is a great way that I'll be able to know you're really there and hear your thoughts about the show. I also want to say please go to my website, which is drcherylselman.com, because if you opt in there, you will actually get the shows emailed to you. I send them out every week so people can access the archive shows. And if you go to my Facebook page, which is What Women Must Know, What Women Must Know, I post all my shows there and lots of other great information. And if you're wondering why my Facebook page is What Women Must Know, it's because my other program on Progressive Radio Network is called What Women Must Know. That's every Thursday at 4 p.m. So if you haven't been listening to What Women Must Know, you just may want to check that show out as well as be a dedicated listener to the Love Code every week. It's Saturdays at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, but of course, go to my website, Dr. Cheryl Selman, or to my Facebook page, like me there, What Women Must Know, and I send all of those shows out to you personally. So keep posted, keep checking in, keep learning, keep healing. So let's talk about healing, because today we're going to find your soul's agenda with my guest, Ani Anderson. So just a little bit about Ani. Ani is the creator of the Find Your Soul's Agenda process and co-creator of sensation-based mindset coaching. Her goal is to help people navigate life's challenges with grace and gratitude rather than the toxic emotions that ultimately affect their health, vitality, and quality of life. Ani has had many outward successes in her life, from Broadway to business. However, her most treasured success has been becoming a person, wife, and parent that she's proud of, being and facilitating that same growth in the lives of the people she has led to her coach that have been led to her coaching practice. She lives in a log cabin in the woods, nestled between the foothills of the Adirondack Mountains and Lake Champlain. She, her husband, and kids can often be found swimming in the lake, hopefully not in the wintertime, skiing and enjoying the amazing local food, or riding the ferry boat back and forth to school. She is the author of Find Your Soul's Agenda, the one word that will make your whole life a success. Wow, what a woman. Hey, Ani. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Dr. Cheryl. Thanks so much for having me.
I do have an image of this like mountain family that they go into the lake in the middle of winter, these hardy souls, you know, dipping in ice fishing and
yeah, there's no ice fishing and there's no polar bears, but my son will usually go in April when it's still freezing just to say that he did it.
Well, he's a tough soul. That's how they toughen out, you know. That's what the Russians and Siberians used to do to get really tough. They probably still do. It makes warriors out of them. So good for them. So, well, can I ask you, how big is your log cabin?
It's tiny. We have three bedrooms and 1.5 baths, and it's small enough so that it's cozy, and it's big enough so that the five of us, you know, aren't in each other's faces constantly.
Well, that's good, especially during the winter months, which lasts for 6 months.
Forever.
Exactly.
Yes.
What happens when does the lake freeze in the winter? The kids get to school otherwise?
Or? Yeah, sometimes it does, and we have to find alternate transportation for them sometimes. It's kind of interesting, I guess you could say. We live on the bay of Lake Champlain, and it almost always freezes. Only sometimes the main lake freezes, though.
Well, it sounds like you're the real pioneer woman there.
Yeah, kind of. I do make my own bread, so, you know, that's pretty amazing.
Very pioneerish. Very pioneerish.
Thank you.
From a mix, I know. It's out of a box, I know. Only if you're sure it isn't. So, okay, let's jump into this Find Your Soul's Agenda. So tell me, what inspired you to write this book?
Well, what inspired me to write the book was the tremendous effect that the process was having on my clients. So it's a process that I figured out on my own for myself, and then at some point, somebody around me said, hey, you know, you've done something different with your life. I can tell, and I want to know what it is. And so she became the first person that I did this process with, and so I watched her over the course of about a year, and it was pretty phenomenal to watch the progress that she made, and I thought, I got to do this with more people. So I started to do it with more and more people. And it's just so successful, we had to write about it. We had to get it into as many people's hands as possible. And I'm really thrilled, because I didn't know how it would translate written, but I'm really thrilled that I get comments all the time from readers saying that they did the process, they're doing the work, and it's really made a difference in their lives. So it's translated well, and it's really inspiring people.
Well, that's great to hear. So I want to know, what did she see in you that you did that was so inspiring that led her to want to work with what you did? If that makes any sense.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm a mom of three kids. We have a blended family. And this woman is also a mother. And she recognized that I just seemed happier than most people. And not bothered by things. I seem to be more positive and grateful in my life. And, you know, it kind of ticked her off. We joke about it now, because when she saw me really looking like I was thriving and happy and grateful and navigating challenges with children, she just thought, darn it, you know, what does she know that I don't know?
I'm sure she was curious to your secret, because that's quite a gift to have.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was a very different way of being for me, you know, for myself, because I oftentimes in my old life held resentments and, you know, didn't really talk about things. I definitely wasn't glowing, that's for sure. So there was a difference about me.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, hey, have you always been so positive, or was it a process that you went through?
Yeah, it was definitely a process that I've went through, and we're going to talk more about this, but I'll be clear that I'm not positive all the time. I think that's so important. There are moments, I have my moments, and that's part of the Soul Agenda, is really understanding what our moments look like and that they're okay when they happen. But no, in my old life, I was kind of consistently frustrated. So when I was positive or happy, I was way more muted. I was afraid to really express the bigness of my aliveness and my vibrancy. And I didn't. I don't think I even really understood that it was there. Now, I did when I was a kid. I remember distinctly moments when I was a kid, but in my adult life, I was way more muted.
And then?
Well, and then the short
what happened?
Story is my life. And then the short story is that my life fell apart and I couldn't fix me. So I was an occupational therapist and holistic healer. I was the person who people went to when they were having emotional problems or physical pain, and I could help. And then my life fell apart, and I wasn't, I turned to my therapeutic friends, and no one seemed to be able to help me. And I became my own client. I needed to figure it out. And so I remember being in a therapist's office one day, and this was a therapist who I really enjoyed. I thought she was great. And she also did yoga. And so she said to me, Ani, you've got to learn how to be. You've got to stop trying so hard. And I said to her, it has not been the first time I heard somebody say that. I said, darn it, if somebody could just tell me how to do that, I would be happy to. Just give me the instruction manual and I will do that. And so she said, here's what I would like you to do. I want you to go home and I want you to lay on the floor with your feet, your legs up the wall, kind of like an L. And I want you to lay there for 5 minutes a day. And when I see you next week, we'll talk about it. And so I did that. I went home and I laid on the floor with my legs up the wall and I waited. And then the next day I did it again and I waited. And I think it was day two or three, I said to myself, this is not really what I was talking about. Like, I really, this isn't working. I get it about being quiet. I was a meditator. An energy healer. Like, I get it about being present and being quiet with myself, but this is not really fixing the problem. And so that really was the beginning of a quest for me, which took probably about 2 years of figuring out what the heck that meant. How do you be? You know? How do you do that? And that's what this whole agenda process is really about.
So obviously that quest gave you answers, and you've applied them in your life. You're applying them in your practice, and sharing them in the book. So when we talk about the title of your book is called Find Your Soul's Agenda. So let's first start by defining what you mean by soul.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I believe that the soul, you know, there are lots of different ways people describe this, right? So it's just my take. I believe that the soul is the aspect of us that is functioning through the body in this world, but is not of this world. That's how I would talk about it.
So that's the part of you that is connected to your divine essence? Would you say it that way?
Yeah, that the soul would be the part of us that is connected to the divine and is animated by spirit or energy. That's how I would talk about it. So we are spiritual beings having a human experience in a human body, but that part of us that's connected to the divine, the part of us that never dies, I would say is the soul, and that our body-soul complex is animated by spirit or energy.
And why do you think it's important to find your soul's agenda?
Well, I think that it brings a tremendous amount of peace to us. It did for me, and I see this with the people who find the process or do the process. The soul agenda process is one that, you know, it could be defined as purpose work, and I think for some people it really is. For me, it certainly was. And it has a holistic approach. So rather than trying to figure out who I am or what I'm supposed to do with my life in a very one-sided way that describes a life that I should have, where I'm always happy and I'm always succeeding, I'm always loving, I'm always joyful, I'm always content, it actually describes us in a life that is more accurate, that has ups and downs. It has good times and bad times. It has times we love and times we don't love. It describes us as a whole. And so I think it's so important for people to do this work, because I have not seen other purpose work that is actually holistic. And so oftentimes when people try to find out who they are or what they should be doing, or they take assessments and things like this, they're finding out a piece of life, a piece of who they are, but it's pointing towards only one side, that side that we really like about ourselves, or a side that we like to experience or makes us look good, but it doesn't give a wholeness to who we are. When we have that awareness of wholeness, when we have that balanced perception of ourselves, we're able to accept our lives and ourselves and our part in it completely. And so we don't have to wonder anymore what's wrong with us, and we don't have to wonder what's wrong with life when it doesn't show up as butterflies and unicorns all the time.
You know, everyone is looking to find that sense of peace. They're looking to find a sense of well-being, of inner joy, self-love. So that's, to me, it's really ultimately the human quest. I mean, some people, well, I believe everyone's life journey is taking them to that destination, but some people have to go through a lot of back roads, you know, to get there, and detours, which is perfect. I mean, that's what each person needs to create. And while we're in a painful situation, a divorce, an abusive relationship, a loss of a job, an illness, you know, when we are in those circumstances, we don't really understand if there is a greater purpose, or if it's going to teach us anything, or if we're going to benefit from it in any way. It's only for most people with hindsight, as they travel along their life's journey, they can look back and go, oh, because of this, I, you know, sought out this experience, or I met this person, or I, you know, had to change everything so I could arrive at a better place in my life. So it's an interesting journey, because I do believe from my own experience that everything that is experienced in life is designed by us for the greater purpose of waking us up to our soul's purpose and agenda. It's just having the guidance and wisdom and support along the way to move through difficult life circumstances, the karma we've created, whatever you want to call it. So having kind of that view of things, where do people begin who are not feeling joy or happiness, or dealing with a chronic illness or a bad relationship or financial challenges, you know, all the things that really push us to grow if we choose to, you know, acknowledge that. where would you say people should begin if they want to move that, you know, into a different energy in their lives?
Yeah, well, I really do feel like finding your soul's agenda is where to begin, because what happens is that we actually experience, even though we're experiencing different scenarios like the job loss or the health issue or the relationship challenge, actually each of us experiences those things uniquely. So I'll say that first. Each of us experiences those things uniquely. But as an individual, we actually experience them in similar ways. And so when we can bring awareness to how we experience life when we don't like what's showing up for us, we can start to see some of the patterns that are showing up in those difficult scenarios. What happens there is, whether you're in a difficult scenario or you've just gotten out of one, or you're hoping that another one isn't coming down the pike, knowing your soul's agenda is so incredibly powerful, because when you have language to understand how your unique energy shows up in these patterns, in these scenarios, you can begin to watch yourself in a whole new way. You can begin to experience the situation in a whole new way, in really a holistic way, because you start to see some of those gifts that oftentimes aren't presented until hindsight during. And when that happens, I mean, I think that listeners can probably already feel that, like, wow, what if I could actually experience some of those insights while things were going on? The profound nature that is phenomenal, because all of a sudden we can begin to bring some of the gratitude that oftentimes doesn't get resolved until, if it even gets resolved, years later or months later. We can start to have some of the gratitude, some of that understanding, some of that wisdom during the process. We start to become innately curious about ourselves and about life in a whole new way. It opens up the possibilities for experiencing life in a completely different way that is quite profound.
Okay, so give me some concrete examples, because what you're saying holds, you know, holds truth, but you know what, we need specific concrete strategies that will really help in those times. Otherwise, for most people it's good words, but so what, you know? So you found a way through, and that's what your book, Find Your Soul's Agenda, is about. So help us and give us some practical strategies that will help all of us to live life with much more joy and purpose.
Sure. Would you like me to give you some examples or some strategies? Because I'm happy to do either or both.
Well, we'll do both.
Okay. So I'll give you an example of someone in how they use their soul agenda, and it'll highlight for you what I'm talking about there, and then we can go into the next thing. So just for reference, the soul agenda is one word, and that one word is unique to each individual. So Dr. Cheryl, yours would be different than mine, probably. Mine is to feel alive. So that's my one word, is alive. And I have a definition around what that means. And even if you had the same word, your definition would be different than mine.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
That definition of what it means to be alive is unique to me. And then I have also a definition of what it feels like. We call it the polarity. When I'm experiencing life, like, I don't like to experience it. And that's really the opposite of alive. For me, it's numbness. It's feeling depleted of energy. And so I just give that for some reference. Now, let me tell you an example about a woman whose soul agenda is to feel empowered. And her polarity is disempowerment. So when she contacted me, she was having trouble with a relationship in her life. It was her mother-in-law that she was having difficulty with. And she couldn't figure out what was going on, but it was so frustrating. She would just get upset when the mother-in-law would come into town, especially if the mother-in-law was coming to her house. Just thinking about her was driving her crazy. And so when I questioned her a little bit more about what was going on, she told me things like, she's so domineering. It's like, I can't get a word in edgewise. And she said things like this that were really, this is before I knew her soul's agenda, pointing to me towards this kind of disempowered stance. So it was interesting, well, once we found her soul agenda and determined that it was to feel empowered, we were able to identify that she actually was experiencing her soul agenda in that polarity, like she doesn't like to experience it, with her mother-in-law. And that right there, that awareness, was huge. For one, she recognized what was going on, but two, she recognized that there was a choice to feel something else. So when we talk about some specific things people can do, I'll talk about how there's a choice to feel something else.
Okay,
so,
great.
Okay, so she recognized that there was a choice to feel something else, but she didn't know how to get there. So I asked her, and again, her word is empowerment. I said, what could you do to empower yourself in this situation? And we were using some specifics, like, the mother-in-law is going to come over to the house. What are some things you could do to empower yourself? And she started to come up with things. She started to come up with some things like, well, I could tell my husband that I'm really nervous. Awesome. That's great. What else could you do? I could plan ahead of time how the day is going to go so that it doesn't go too long, so that it's a shorter visit. Awesome. That's great. What else can you do? And so she started creating a different way to be around her mother-in-law, using this concept of how can I feel more empowered. And so as she started to do that step by step with each interaction, it took about 3 months, and she called me and she said, would you believe I got a call from my mother-in-law? She thanked me for hosting her at her house, had such a great time, and I've never received a phone call like that ever. So she felt really empowered by receiving that feedback. It was awesome. And there, from there, they had momentum and their relationship continued to change, where eventually she was looking forward to having her mother-in-law over. So in terms of practical things that people can do, even if you don't know your soul's agenda, know that life is always going to show up in with two sides. So some people like to talk about it in duality. I like to talk about it in terms of natural law. So there's a natural law of the universe called the law of polarity, and it basically states that there is always an opposite and an equal and opposite to everything. So where there's night, there's day. Where there's on, there's off. There's always two sides. And so even if you don't know your soul's agenda, if you're in a situation, in any kind of situation in your life where you don't like what's happening, you can begin to identify what it is that you don't like and then start to just question, start to be curious about whether the opposite exists, because it must by natural law. The question is, where does it exist? So sometimes we have to really keep our eyes open, and doing that by being curious, and I can talk more about strategies to be curious, I'm happy to, but by being curious, some of those things that are already there, they are, they must be by natural law, can begin to reveal themselves. And when they do, when we can focus our attention and energy on those things that we want rather than the things that we don't want, all of a sudden life can begin to transform before our eyes.
So that's really interesting. And I know in your book you have a chapter that's about understanding the laws of nature, of how nature rules mm-hmm. your life. So maybe that's a really good place to begin and look at some of those laws of nature and how they run our lives so we can have a foundation to work with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. Boy, I could talk about this for hours. How long do you have?
Okay, give us the abbreviated
version.
Here
we go. So I'll start with the law of energy, and the other name for that is the law of more life. So oftentimes people have heard the saying, if you're not growing, you're dying. And that's actually not accurate in terms of natural law. The law of energy states that everything is always growing and growing into more life. And we can see this even with death. So in the autumn time, the leaves fall off the trees and they fall to the ground. And those leaves nourish and nurture the growth for the next season. That's natural evidence that even death nurtures the growth of more life. If we had a field and nobody was attending to it and we just left it to grow, what would happen is it would grow up. There would be grass and weeds and trees and things that would grow to fill that space, because nature, life, is always growing into more life. Now, the way that we understand this law of growing into more life is actually through the natural law of polarity that I was just talking about, and that we always have the option of seeing one side or the other side. You know, ideally we're seeing a whole. Ideally we're seeing both sides, because when we see both sides, we have a balanced perception. So, like I was talking about, if you're in a situation where you don't like what's going on and you can identify what it is that you don't like, there must be aspects of the opposite in your life already. It must be its natural law. When you can identify what the opposite would be, you can start to look for what is going on that is healthy or that you do like or want to focus on. And that's actually using the natural law of more life, because whatever we focus on grows. People have heard this. It's not a new concept. Whatever we focus on grows. And so what are we growing? Are we growing more negativity? Are we growing more dis-ease or stress in our lives or anxiety? Or are we growing peace and contentment and those kinds of things? Because both of those opposing opposites, we have the option to choose to focus on each one of them in any moment. The question is, where are we putting our focus? So that's one of the law of energy, and also the law of polarity in action. Those are two of my favorites.
Okay, because I guess there's some more too, but those are really important ones to start with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have another favorite. Do you mind if I talk about it for a second?
Oh, please do. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. The law of relativity is one that is really interesting to me, and it's this concept of comparison. So people tell us not to compare ourselves with other people, but actually the mind is always going to compare because it's by our comparison that we can relate to things. And so rather than trying to force ourselves to stop comparing, which, boy, you know, so many people compare themselves in ways that don't help them to succeed or don't help them to feel good about themselves or don't help them to be healthy. Instead of those kinds of comparisons, when we catch ourselves comparing, ask ourselves, how can I compare myself or this situation or this person, whatever it is that we're comparing, how can I compare in a way that helps me? That helps me feel more healthy, that helps me to grow or to help me feel more peace. Because again, just like that law of polarity, the option is always there. We just might not see it right away. That's one that I love to bring people's attention to, because once people start to become aware of how they're comparing themselves, just the awareness can open up so many doors.
Can you give an example of how that may look for people?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. I'll go right back to the example I was using of this woman who was having problems with her mother-in-law. Part of the reason that she was having problems with her mother-in-law was she was comparing her mother-in-law to this fantasy image she had in her head about what mother-in-laws are supposed to be like or what this woman should be like. She wasn't really looking at her accurately. She was comparing herself to this fantasy image. And so when she started to ask herself, how can I compare her in a way that's helpful, she started to look at how she could compare herself to other people's mother-in-laws, for example, and she realized most people have issues with their mother-in-laws. So all of a sudden, this mother-in-law that seemed like this big, huge, hairy monster started to not be such a big, huge, hairy monster anymore. She started to become more of a human being that maybe she could have a relationship with, that maybe she could change her perception of. And so that's an example right there of how we can use the law of relativity or comparison in a way that is helpful to us.
So when she was, in this example, so when she was realizing that this is not a unique problem to her, that there mm-hmm. are people who have similar issues, and understanding that this is a dynamic that can affect lots of people, then it was giving her a perspective on her relationship. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, exactly. It started to open up new ways of thinking about the situation.
Mm. And it's all about learning how to have new ways of thinking about situations, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, to get out of a rut, you know, one of my favorite sayings that I use all the time, especially when I was a psychotherapist, is if you do what you've always done, you'll get what you've always gotten. It's important to make shifts, little teeny ones sometimes, but if you don't want things to stay the same, you have to do something different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. That's one of the reasons I love natural laws so much, is it gives us an opportunity to be curious and wonder, could I do something different by focusing my attention somewhere else, for example, because I know that law of the universe about how everything's growing. So, geez, I wonder if maybe I'm growing something I don't want to grow here. Or the law of polarity. Okay, I know there's got to be another choice. I'm obviously seeing only one side of the equation here. I wonder if I can see anything else. I wonder if maybe I can see the opposite. Just that curiosity opens up so much.
Well, where did that law of nature that you write about come from? What is that based upon?
So it's, you know, most of the people who talk about natural laws are people who talk about wealth building. And I happened into the teachings about natural law because I was in a very tight spot in my business. And so I was looking to how can we create more monetary wealth and profit in our business. And I landed on learning about natural laws. And it wasn't until a little while afterward that I looked at what I was learning and realized, wait a minute, I could be using these in all aspects of life. It's not just about making money. It's funny, though, most of the people who talk about natural law, when I've researched it, it's really mostly people talking about wealth building.
Interesting. So you've just expanded the lens of it. So it's relevant and applies to life in general.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And specifically relationships for me, because that's my topic of interest, to look at the relationship patterns and dynamics. And the natural laws are completely applicable for any area of our life where we're trying to create wealth, not just money. It's perfectly applicable for health. It's perfectly applicable for relationships. It's, you know, perfectly applicable for everything because it's natural law. It applies to everything. Just most people don't talk about them in regards to other things.
So it's finding a roadmap that a person can use to help navigate through life and through life's challenges and have, as a result, like any roadmap, it can help you get where you want to go if you kind of know where you are and where you want to wind up, mm-hmm. and then follow that map.
Mm-hmm. The natural laws provide an outstanding map because they're always operating all the time. They're operating for every single person unconditionally, and they're everywhere. You can't escape them. So you can choose not to learn about them, you know, but I think that's silly when they're right there for us to learn about. Might as well learn how to use them, like you said. Otherwise, we might wander around the feeling lost.
Yeah. That's right, and those back roads forever. You know, you know, it just makes me realize how deficient our culture is, that we have access to wisdom, we have access to great traditions that have been able to make sense out of life, be able to give us a roadmap to move through the experiences of life and learn the gifts and grow and strengthen and be able to understand a greater purpose. And yet, our culture doesn't pay any attention to that. There's nothing in the culture that we have been brought up with, unless you're very fortunate, have gone to some, you know, Waldorf schools, or, you know, you've had parents that have, you know, gone to India and done some inner work. Do you know, I mean, for most of us, our culture it really doesn't provide us with a foundation of spiritual wisdom and resilience. It's a culture that is filling us with material, superficial, insignificant, inconsequential attractions, more or less, you know, through the media, through all aspects of the media that control us and define us. And you know, and then it's realizing how much we have lost our way because we don't have a solid foundation of who we are or why we are here.
Mm-hmm. Hear, hear, sister. I don't know why they don't teach these things in school.
that's just so much of what's missing. That's why our culture tends to be so hollow. And when people get into the life's challenges, which everyone is going to have a challenge in life, if you don't have resilience, if we don't have strategies, if you don't have a context to understand the greater purpose, you really suffer a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, they say that suffering is a choice, but I've got to be honest with you, that kind of bothers me to hear that when we're not giving people the skills, like you're talking about. If we're not giving them the context and we're not giving them the skills, but then we're going to say suffering's a choice or choosing to suffer, that does not seem fair.
Yeah. So when you've put your program together in your book and your program, I mean, it's a book defining and explaining your program, find your soul's agenda. So let's talk about how we find our soul's agenda. Can we elaborate a little bit more about that and maybe help give people a little technique or something they can use?
Absolutely happy to. If you're listening to this and this is an exciting conversation, grab a piece of paper. So the first thing that we do is we do a memory recapitulation, and we look at three areas of life. We look at the childhood, our personal life and our professional life. And we ask ourselves, what are the best memories, just the best memories that pop up when I think of those different aspects of my life? And I ask people to come up with three if they can. If they can't, it's fine. If you can come up with three, great, and write them down. And so at the end, hopefully you have about 9 memories to go from. So then you look at those memories and you grab a new sheet of paper and you'll ask yourself, how did I feel during this memory? And what you're looking for is one word or short phrases of how you felt. Like it might be, I felt lighter than air. That would be an example of a phrase. Or light or connected or empowered could be a way that you felt. And you write down all of those words or all of those short phrases for all of the memories. And then the next thing you do is you go through an elimination round. So you go 2 by 2, and you're looking at the feeling quality words or short phrases 2 at a time, and you're asking yourself, which one feels right? And, you know, everybody I've done this with just has a sense. At first when you hear that, you might say, I don't know what that means. But everybody I've walked through this process gets it once they start. So just kind of trust yourself and trust the process and get 2 at a time. It doesn't matter which 2 they are, and ask yourself, is it this one or is it that one? And you'll just get a sense that this one's the right one and that one's not. And so you cross off the one that's not and you keep the one that is. And you go through the list until hopefully you've dwindled it down to one word. Most people do that. Sometimes people have 2 or 3 words at the end that they're just not willing to dwindle down anymore. And I'll get to how that works in just a second. It's fine. So take the word that you've got, and then you want to define that for yourself. And the easy way to do that is simply to ask yourself, what does that word mean? So mine's alive. And so I would say to myself, what does alive mean? And I would just write, stream of consciousness, what that word means. And that word is my soul agenda word, and what I've come up with is a definition of what that means to me. It's in my words, not anybody else's. And so now we have a soul agenda word and we have a definition, which is awesome. That definition points to how I feel in my life when I love how my life feels. So we're looking for one more thing then, because we would like to have a full holistic definition of the person and of their life. And so we want to ask, how do I feel when I am in the opposite? When I don't feel, if the word's alive, when I don't feel alive, when I don't feel empowered. And you write a list. I usually like to do this in a bulleted list. You write a bulleted list down of what that feels like. And then you have a reference point for what we call the polarity of your soul's agenda. So now you have the definition, and you have the polarity, which is a holistic view. So that's awesome. So the last thing that you'll do is you'll create a soul agenda statement. And the benefit of that is that the statement can serve as a compass as you navigate your life in terms of helping you to make decisions. So the kind of generic statement that we start people with is, my soul agenda is to feel, and then you fill in the blank with your word, and inspire others to feel the same. Now, this is where if you have 2 or 3 words that you've come up with and defined, you will see that they all fit together hand in glove in this little statement. As you start to craft your statement, you can be a little creative with it and see how those words go together. And I'll give you an example. I had a person whose words that they just weren't willing to let go of were flow, unconditional, love, and acceptance. And at first I started to put those words together and it felt a little bit chunky, but then we realized that his soul agenda is to feel in the flow of unconditional love and acceptance. Okay, so it really made sense. Like all of those words just fit. And that it happens all the time with people who have a handful of words at the end. When they have a few words, that's how it always works out. So you create that statement and it has the first part about you. So my soul agenda is to feel. And then the second part is about others. So how do you love to inspire and influence others? And that's what that second part of the statement is about. And what that relates to in terms of using it is this. As you go about navigating your life and you're going to be making decisions for yourself, and we make so many decisions a day, you can ask yourself first, is this decision helping me to feel whatever your word is? So for me, it would be more alive. Is this decision helping me to feel more alive? And if the answer is a clear yes or a clear no, you know what to do. But sometimes the answer is a kind of a neutral, like, I'm not sure, or I don't really care. Then you go to that second part of the statement, and you can ask yourself, is this decision helping other people around me or the other people involved to feel more alive, or whatever your word is? And then you'll get a clear understanding, because sometimes the decisions we make are really about us, and it's really important to put ourselves at the center of our own circle like that. And sometimes, you know, sometimes it's not about us, and sometimes we are in a place where we really feel full in our own lives, and it really is more about contribution. So that's how that second part of the statement works, and that's the process.
Which sounds very doable for people, and I would imagine it really helps if you have someone like yourself guiding and facilitating and, you know, bringing in the insights. But the thing to me about this process, it provides what I would say is a compass, to give you some reference point of how you can look at things, which most people don't really have or don't have a conscious awareness of. So it's hard to evaluate where you're going and how things are working in your life, because you just don't have a compass to measure things against.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly right. I'm sure, Dr. Cheryl, you saw or see with your work how people tend to use somebody else's compass, the people who raised them or the patterns that they're just used to. If they don't have a conscious compass that they're using, they default on old patterns.
Right. So people can use your book, work with your book, to help them go through this process as you described. Do you also do virtual consultations with people?
Mm-hmm. Yep, and the way that I use this process is, for me, as the person's, you know, coach and mentor, is to look as they're making decisions, is there something that they're missing? Because oftentimes when people first start to find their soul's agenda, you know, like you said, it's actually really beneficial to do it with someone else, and someone can absolutely do it on their own. So both are totally appropriate. And then when somebody starts to use it, what I find is because it's a new skill, right, they use it a little bit, they don't use it completely, and then they kind of forget and then fall back into old habits. So one of the benefits of doing it with someone else is they can continue to remind you and to bring up aspects of your life or yourself that you just don't see, because it's hard for us to have that accurate reflection of ourselves. We're in it.
Oh, for sure. What about using this technique for people in relationships? How would this benefit relationships?
It's so much fun to use this in relationships. I was just talking with a group of people who were new to learning their soul's agenda last night, and we were talking about how if you have a friend or, you know, ideally partners who you can do this with, or people close to you, it's so profound. It's so amazing. When you know somebody else's soul agenda, and I'll give you an example. When you know somebody else's soul agenda, the depth that's available in the relationship just because you know what it is so profound. I remember for myself in my own life, before I knew my husband's soul agenda, which, by the way, he's the guy with the unconditional flow of love and acceptance. Before I knew that about him, I used to get on his case whenever he would get, I perceived it as kind of grumpy or authoritative with our family, where he would start to dish out orders. You know, do this, do that. Well, don't think about it like this, do that. And I started to, before I knew his soul agenda, I would say, what's the matter with you? You know, settle down. Then I found out his soul agenda. His soul agenda is to feel in the unconditional flow of love and acceptance. But the opposite of that is to feel conditional. When he starts to get conditional with our family, instead of saying to him, what's the matter with you, I have a lot of compassion, because I know that he's not experiencing life like he likes to feel, and he's stuck. And so rather than saying, what's the matter with you, when I notice that behavior, I say something like, you okay right now? You know? So that is simply because I know his soul agenda. That's it. So even if you're not, like, working more in depth with the process, with a mentor or with a coach or with somebody, and you just know the other person's full agenda, you can facilitate their growth. You can facilitate the growth of the relationship and compassion for each other and awareness in, like, awesome ways.
And what I hear when you say that is when you have that awareness, instead of reacting to a person's behavior or words, you have a perspective that allows you to be more compassionate. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's like looking under the surface a bit more of what's really driving that person's behavior or words and diffuse the situation then.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We've seen this time and time again. This is a process we've used with couples, we've used with mother-daughters, we've used with father-sons, friends, and every single time it fits together like two puzzle pieces perfectly with a soul agenda. That's why we talk about how everybody in your life is a soulmate, because each of us is here to experience life in this unique way. The soul agenda word points to that unique way. And so I'm here to help inspire other people to feel more alive, and that's my kind of piece of the puzzle in relationships. The people who are around me, I am going to both challenge their capacity to grow in that way and also support their capacity to grow in that particular way. So I don't believe there's any accident that there are certain people in our life, because they provide the perfect opportunity for each of us to grow.
So does everyone in your family know their soul's agenda? I probably know the answer to that question. It's probably
almost
obvious, but I'll ask it anyway.
Almost everybody. Not everybody's interested, and that's okay with me.
Interesting. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you can still take your understanding and support those people, even if you can't have that kind of conversation with them.
Absolutely. And I get that not everybody feels as comfortable as I do having seriously intimate relationships. I mean, the people who are in my life who also know their soul's agenda, we have a real depth of intimacy in our relationship. I mean, I really know who they are, and they really know me. And that can be really scary for some people. And I honor that. If that's somebody's path, it's fine. And yes, just like you said, I can use the skills that I've developed to be who I want to be in relationship, even without knowing. It's okay.
There's a great quote in your book in that chapter 8 called Finding Your Soul's Agenda from the Tao Te Ching that I just think is wonderful. So I'm going to read it. Knowing others is intelligence. Knowing yourself is true wisdom. Mastering others is strength. Mastering yourself is true power.
Mm.
That's very profound, as the Tao Te Ching tends to be. You know, mastering yourself is true power. So tools that allow us to have greater mastery of ourselves is really the way out of the what I would call the suffering, the frustrations, the difficulties in life, and starting to really live life for the purpose for which we came.
Yeah, absolutely. And there are different tools, right? Like, certain people are going to gravitate towards this one, and certain people aren't. And I love to encourage people to do whatever it is that they're drawn towards. It doesn't have to be my thing, you know. It's somebody else's. It doesn't matter to me. But I do think it's such an amazing opportunity to take advantage of there's so many great tools out there to learn how to master ourselves.
Absolutely, and that's the name of the game. So how do people find you if they want to work with you, if you have people that you've trained? Where do people go to discover more and possibly work with someone finding their soul's agenda?
Yeah, the easy way is to go to findyoursoulsagenda.com. So the book can be found there. Contacting me can be found there. Our facilitators are found there. People who are interested in becoming facilitators can talk to us there. So that's just a great place to go. It's findyoursoulsagenda.com.
Oh, that's great. Easy to remember, findyoursoulsagenda.com. And I think it's been a great conversation, Ani. Thank you for the work you've created and for the great service you are doing for others and spreading your work, training more people, getting this out there. Obviously, it's a very effective and powerful tool that's helped many, many people, and I'm sure you'll be working and helping many, many more down the track in the years to come.
Thank you so much for having me. This was such a fun conversation.
It's been a great conversation. I really enjoyed it. And I hope all of my listeners have really enjoyed the conversation and supporting you and reconnecting to your soul's agenda, your soul's purpose. And as I always like to say, this is all about uplifting and transforming, inspiring and healing you. So I hope you will join me next week, same time, same place, unless you go to my website, Dr. Cheryl Selman, or my Facebook page at What Women Must Know, where I can post the shows to you, and then you can get them and listen to them whenever it's convenient. So until next time, I always like to say love, peace, and harmony to all of you. Have a great week. Bye for now.